I'm glad everybody's here tonight. How many are glad to be in the house of God, to worship together as a family? Amen. Hallelujah. We may be few in number, but we're great in power, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. Hallelujah. And it's just a temporary time. We're going to enjoy this time, and we're going to move forward, because there's coming a day that you're going to have to move over. It's going to be just standing room. You have to give up your seat, stand in the back, because there's only standing room only in the house. That day will come. Hallelujah. How many believe? How many are trusting? Hallelujah. The Lord is saying things are changing. Things are changing and God is working. We're going to keep praying. We're not going to stop. He's changing us and he's changing things around us. Amen. Well, we've got a few announcements tonight. We have Wednesday night church at 7 p.m., 6:30 for pre-worship. Thursday prayer at 11. And then Saturday this week, this is the second Saturday of the month coming up. Saturday, I forgot to announce it Sunday, but Saturday will be all day prayer from 12 to 4. Fasting and prayer if you want to skip a meal or two or have some vegetables maybe, or just drink water. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many, you know, fasting is abstaining from some kind of food. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, at least the Daniel fast, his was just not eating the king's, you know, his meats and his dainties, you know. He said, just bring me the vegetables and I'll be stronger than these other men. Praise God. And he sought the Lord. Hallelujah. We can set our face to seek the Lord. Amen. And we're going to seek him this Saturday from 12 to 4. So come on out. And if it gets really good, we might go to 5 or maybe 6. Or if the glory of God fills us, we may just pray all night. Bless God. How many think it's very possible? How many are expecting? Amen. You know, when the presence of God comes, time doesn't mean a lot, does it? You know, I was listening to one prayer warrior, and she would talk about stepping over the line or stepping over the log, and talk about times when they would join in the morning. And she said before she knew it, it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And she doesn't remember all the prayers she prayed in between, but she went somewhere in the spirit. How many are ready to go somewhere in the spirit? There's a deeper place in the spirit that we can go. A place where things change around us, where cities are saved and lives are changed and people are influenced, amen, to know God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, that'll be Saturday, and then, of course, Sunday, we're back to service here. Praise the Lord. And how many enjoyed last Sunday? It was fun, wasn't it? We had a Sunday morning, Sunday night. Presence of God was in the house. Glory to God forever. It's always good when God's presence comes. We believe for that every time, but how many know sometimes his manifested presence is stronger on us than we know. He's always present. God's always present, isn't he? You brought him tonight, didn't you? He lives in you, right? You know, but there are times when it's more manifest. In other words, his, you know, we can sense it. We feel it with our, not just our spiritual man, but sometimes with the natural part of us. Amen. It was, oh, wow. Ooh, it's like God comes and sits on us, doesn't he? Amen. Bible said God is weighty in the Old Testament. He's heavy, in other words. He dwells in a, it even said he dwelled in a dark cloud. Very interesting. There's different, you know, things that talk about the Lord and his weightiness and his heaviness that comes and rests on us at times. Hallelujah. I know I've had him come rest on me many times, and I'm thankful. I've always changes you. You know, we don't have to wait to service to get there, do we? We can just go to him. We can worship him. We can seek his face and let his presence come. You know, it's not all about what we feel, though. We got to remember that. It's about what we believe. We know that He hears us. We know that we're changing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. When we spend time praying in other tongues, He's teaching us. Hallelujah. How many want the teacher to work in you and to show you and to lead you and to guide you exactly into that place? Well, tonight, I want us to continue talking a little more about grace. Last week, we talked about the grace of God in the, you know, in the hellos and goodbyes, didn't we? In the salutations and in the benedictions of the epistles that were written from men, and how they said, grace and peace to you. Amen. Grace and peace. Isn't that wonderful? God's grace. In other words, they're saying God's power that lives in you. Amen. In other words, we would say, let God's divine influence in your heart be with you. Amen. Let His working be with you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus, in His earthly ministry, always ministered under grace. There was a grace about Him. In other words, it was not a burden. It wasn't a burden to Him. Didn't God say, my yoke's easy, my burden is light? In other words, it wasn't a heavy burden on Him. However, there are times when you are working with the Lord. Amen. And sometimes it is work, and sometimes we can feel it in our natural body. Hey, this is a little bit of work, or in our spirit. You know, sometimes, how many, and you ever been in prayer? And you just got to keep praying sometimes. You got to keep going, and it seems like, it's been 10 minutes, Lord. How long have we prayed? My goodness, I thought it was 30 minutes. It's been 10 minutes. I thought it was an hour. It's been 15 minutes. And you're just saying, man, today is just not, you're not sensing that connection. And it's not about what we feel, but it's about continuing on with Him for that place and contending for the place that He's called us to. Amen. How many in here know that God's called each of us somewhere? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus said a lot of things here. I just want to share real close. Jesus, remember when Jesus called Matthew and he's sitting there and he says, hey, follow me. Matthew 9:9, and it says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. In other words, he's sitting there at the tax office where the people paid the taxes. He's collecting it. And there was something in his words that caused Peter to begin to, Matthew to begin to follow, excuse me, to leave his tax collecting and follow Jesus. See, the Bible says in Ephesians that our words are to be what? Seasoned with salt, full of grace. They should bring grace to the heart of the hearer. And in this instance, I believe Jesus' words had a grace upon them. There was a influence that touched Matthew's heart. Now, Jesus didn't go over and wait on Matthew to follow him, did he? He just says, man, yep, come follow me. And he took off. You know, I mean, if you say that to people, oh, where are you going? What's going on? Where are we heading? You know, wouldn't you have a few questions maybe? You know, remember when God spoke to Abraham? said, I want you to get up from Ur of the Chaldees. I want you to go on. I want you to just come follow me to the land that I'll show you. Come follow me. God's pretty. Sometimes that's the way he leads us, isn't it? Come follow me. Yeah, but I don't know where we're going. Where are we going, God? And sometimes at first we may not know. We have to take it one step at a time and trust him for this step. Trust him for the next step. And trust him for the next step. And we've got to let go of our life and let the grace of God work in our heart and continue to pursue him. Because God is a God that loves us, but he wants us to continue in that grace by pursuing him. There's a grace of God that lives on the inside of you that wants to know him, that wants to walk with him, that wants to discuss each step with you. God says, hey, let's talk about it. You know, what we want is we want our 5-year plan. Well, that's what you do for a business, right? You write your 5-year, well, in 5 years, this is where I want to be. And then you what? You back up, well, in 4 years, and in 3 years, and in 2 years, and here's 1 year, and here's how I'm going to get there. Here's each step. Well, how many know the Holy Spirit has the steps? But God wants us to walk by faith, doesn't he? See, we're saved by grace through faith. There's a certain amount of faith that comes with the grace of God for you to fulfill your place. You said, what? Yep. There's a grace of God, a faith of God and a grace from God for you to fulfill the place that he's called you to. Now, there may be some places we got to understand. God doesn't put you into a, you know, a place of greater responsibility until you've been faithful. He, in other words, God kind of proves you out. He said he does. Yeah, he does. He proves us. He wants to prove and he wants to see that we can prove to him we're going to be faithful. See, God knows your heart. And sometimes we have to be faithful for a long time because there's things, while we're being faithful, there's things in our heart he wants to change. And sometimes we'll be at a place and we'll say, Lord, I'm ready. Pour it on. And nothing seems to happen. Why? Well, why, Lord? I mean, I've been faithful, Lord. I'm being faithful. I know what you want. I see that, Lord. Maybe it's a call to a ministry and you hear the preacher and say, I know all those scriptures. I know every scripture he's teaching right now. You already know them. So they're already in my heart. They're already in my mind, Lord. I mean, you know, how come they're not letting me preach? What's wrong? How come they're not letting me teach the word of God? And sometimes we have to realize God wants us to come to the place that we are satisfied with knowing him and let him be our satisfaction. It wasn't until God was my satisfaction. Now, I preached several times in different places as the Lord allowed, and I knew some of the places God told me I was going to preach. But I never asked to preach. They asked me. And God told me they were going to ask me. I remember the first time, one of the first times I preached. Well, the first time I preached is on the street, one-on-one, talking to people about Jesus. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, there's nothing like it. There was a grace on me. They were going out to the street, and I said, can I come along? They said, yeah, come on, let's go. Praise the Lord, I'm glad they did. We found some people. Used to be all these people lined up on 39th Street in Oklahoma City. They called it 39th Street. It was the big drag, you know, where all the teenagers hung out, and they'd make loops around, you know, and the guys are all hanging together and the girls are over there and, you know, they're watching them all and, you know, guys are hoping to meet somebody, vice versa, you know, or just at least hang out together, have some fun. Some of them are drinking a little bit. Some of them are doing things they shouldn't, but not all of them. But anyway, that was the drag. That was the hangout place. And we would just start walking down and we have car after car, people after people. We could share Jesus. And we come up and talk to them, you know. Isn't it something how somebody, you'll start talking to them about Jesus and all of a sudden they put their beer behind their back. Or they take their cigarette out of their mouth, you know. They're kind of trying to hide their sin because why? God's beginning to work in the heart. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I've been baptized. I remember one guy, I've been baptized. Are you sure you're saved? I said, well, it's good to be baptized. But are you born again? Have you really committed your heart, your life to Jesus? I remember he was talking and he says, I love God. I said, well, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Are you keeping the Lord's commandments? And he goes, oh, shoot. This guy knows the Bible, you know. He's like, oh, man, he knows the Bible, you know. But praise the Lord. His friends tried to take him away, and he decided he's going to give his life to Jesus. I said, why don't we kneel down right here and give your life to Jesus? He said, okay, just make sure. Because I said, I don't want you to miss heaven. Just because you're baptized, just because you're a member of the church, just because you drive the right car and you know the right lingo doesn't make you saved. It doesn't mean that you have committed your heart over to God. Maybe you said, well, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do all the right things. But am I obedient to what God said? There's a grace when we obey. God's grace comes. Amen. How many know there's a grace? Why? Because you're free from the inside. So, oh yeah, ha! Now I'm obeying God. And that's where I started preaching. Then I went to another little church, and I think it was the first time I preached in a church, really. I'm trying to think. Well, I can't know. Yeah, really, it was the first time I preached in a church. And I was going to that church, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, they're going to ask you to preach next Wednesday night. I want you to do it. I said, oh, they're not going to ask me. You know, that's what I'm thinking in my mind, you know, myself. I was a little nervous anyway. I didn't really want them to ask me. But they asked me. They said, well, let's get Doug to preach next week. And all of them come into unity on it. There's probably 5 or 10 people there, about 10 people there that night. They all, yeah, let's get Doug to preach next week. Okay. So I prayed and God told me what he wanted me to preach. And I prayed some more. Oh, Lord, what am I going to preach? And he told me the same thing. And I talked about the power of God and how he wants to help us. And I lasted about 10 minutes and the pastor was very gracious and he finished it off. Praise the Lord, very nicely. But I did pray for some people and the lady got healed. Oh my goodness, I was so excited. How many know it's good when somebody gets healed? Hallelujah. What was wrong with her? She had a headache. Something easy, you know. But the pain left. Amen. Praise God. And she was healed. I didn't last very long, but I did share what I felt God wanted me to talk about. And there was a grace. See, there's a grace for the place that God wants to take you in Him. For each place, there's a grace. Hallelujah. God has plans and purposes for our life. In those places is grace. Whatever area we serve Him in, there is a grace. We want to be walking in and where He called you to. That place, there's grace. Now I know most of us here, I mean some of us got here by, actually we think it was by accident, but it was on purpose. God had a purpose. God had a plan. He believed in you enough to get you hooked up into a message called walking in the Spirit or walking with God in a place where there's fellowship with Him and to continue to pursue Him because He believed in you. He believed that you would come and spend time with Him in worship, in prayer, and begin to find that place. 1 Corinthians 12:12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Hallelujah. How many know? Hallelujah. Graces and places we'll talk about tonight. Graces and places. There's places of grace. And then, of course, as I was in my own life, you know, that's the first time I really preached. But see, there was a grace before that. Because I was seeking God and just praying, and I would pray Romans 12, 1 and 2. Lord, I present my body as a living sacrifice, the best I know how, Lord. I do. I present it to you, Lord. I know you want to use me, Lord. I'm here. I'm yours. I belong to you, Jesus. I'm not going to be conformed to this world, but I want to be transformed, Father, by the renewing of my mind. And I'd read that scripture again. I'd pray that verse again. And I prayed it enough. Over and over, say, Lord, I'm here. To where I knew in my heart. I just had a knowing. I was going to a certain denominational church and they started talking about the Holy Spirit. So I started talking to the Holy Spirit. How many know it'd be good to talk to the Holy Spirit? I'd come to that place and praise God. December the 26th, I remember the day. The Holy Spirit came and fell on me. It's right around that right after Christmas, and we had church that Sunday morning, and something was happening. All I know is I heard the pastor say one phrase. He said, Jesus is here. I said, yeah. And I'm meditating on it. I don't know why I'm meditating on it. I have no idea what else he was preaching on, but my mind got stuck there, and I'm meditating on it over and over. The Lord was on me, and it seemed like I wanted to say something, but I didn't know what, and I didn't understand, and I was like, what is going on? You know, Lord, but I know you're wanting to do something. The Holy Spirit was building and bubbling in my spiritual man, in my spirit. That's all. He wants me to say something, but I don't know what it is. Well, that night we came back to church, and there's the offertory. And during the offertory, you know what the offertory is? I'll tell you what the offertory is. The offertory is when they take up the offering. They pass the offering plates. We sing and we have our worship time just like we did tonight. And then they take the plate or they take the basket and they pass it down the rows. And during that time, somebody plays a nice piece on the piano and everyone's quiet. Well, everyone was quiet. And for some reason, I don't know exactly how or what, but I felt my hand just go up like this, you know. And I heard myself on the, I guess it was on the inside, but I heard it echo off the rafters. And kind of, I was shocked. I said, because I said, Lord, I don't even know for sure what I needed. But I said to him, I said, out of my spirit, I heard myself, fill me with the Spirit! Just like you hear that little echo there, that's what I heard. But I talked to my brother afterwards, my oldest brother is sitting next to me, and I was kind of shaking a little bit. I don't know why, you know, everybody says, well, that was my experience. And my brother said, no, you didn't shout. I said, I did. Said, no, you just mumbled something. I said, huh, isn't that something? So I asked the pastor about it after service, and he says, well, I wouldn't worry about it. I didn't see a light come over you, you know, or something like that. He said, I think a light came over you. He said, I wouldn't worry about it, which I wasn't worried about. I'm trying to find out, see what happened. He didn't really know. And that's okay. He didn't, you know, he didn't know. And I wasn't really positive, but as the days went by, it was after that that when I got in my prayer time, I would get a few words sometimes that I thought, maybe that's tongues. I'd be like, ooh, you, 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 you know, and I'd say a few words like that. And I'm not kidding, it sounded just like that. And, like baby talk to me, but I said, I wonder if that's tongues. I really didn't know. I hadn't heard any teaching on tongues. I never really heard anybody pray in tongues. I never, you know, I didn't really know anything about it. I just thought, maybe I got tongues. And I didn't really keep praying in it very often. Just every once in a while, I would get sense these couple words coming up. And I thought, well, that must be what he wanted me to say. I didn't know what to say, so I don't know. Maybe that's it, you know. And I really didn't understand much, but praise the Lord. If anybody had asked me anyway, are you filled with the Spirit? I said, yes. Well, why did you say yes? Because I had received it by faith. Not the tongues. I didn't know anything about tongues. I didn't know I could pray in tongues. I just know I could be filled with the Spirit. That's what they said. And I received it. I believed it. I really believed. He filled me. And I'm sure God did fill me. But I didn't pray in tongues. Why? I didn't know I could. I didn't have that, you know, overflow yet until that time. Apparently something took place there. And I didn't even realize, you know, the fullness of what I needed. But anyway, 12:12. Did we read the scripture yet? It says, for as one, as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that body, of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are one body, aren't we? And we are members in particular. Each one of us has a place. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. There are many members, one body. Many places, one body. But there's a grace for us to take our place in what? The body. We have a place in that body, right? It is important to know what part you fit in. Where do I fit, Lord? Have you asked that question lately? Maybe you have, or maybe you've been asking it for years. It's not too late. You can still find and fulfill your place. When we don't serve in our place, then it causes division in the body. There can be a division that can take place. Verse 18 says this, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. He sets us in the body. You know, some people, you know, they don't ever pray about what church they should go to. They just go where mom and dad went, where grandpa went, you know, where whoever went. Well, we're Catholic. That's what we are. Or we're Pentecostal, or we're Baptist, or we're just something. Well, what if God wants you to go somewhere else? I was in a church and I knew God sent me there. Even when I got filled with, you know, when I called out, God had sent me there. I knew it. You know why? Looking back, I mean, I was praying. It just seemed like I said, Lord, this is, you know, you ever have that deja vu? Like you've been there before, even though you never had? You know, I said, oh, I've been. It's like I'd been there before. Like I saw something on the inside of me. This is, yeah, this is the place. This is where we're supposed to go to church right now. And it was good for me. Because they started talking about the Holy Spirit more. And I began to understand a few things about him. They didn't talk about tongues, but they did talk about the Holy Spirit. And I started learning some things. I looked some things up in the Bible. I started finding out the Holy Spirit's real and he's a person. But anyway, so because there's a grace that comes. When we're not in our grace, how many know sometimes or we get out of our place, or we don't stay in the place that God's called us, we can become miserable, and we don't have grace, and we don't flow as one, as a body. There's a division. There's a missing piece. The body is one, and we can flow together. When we have our place and we find our place, there is a grace that comes upon us. Amen. Faithfulness causes something in our life, and it's called consistency. And when we're faithful to something, we become consistent. There's a grace. And when we stay, and sometimes people say, well, the grace left me. You know, and it might be, could be. God may be moving you to another position or another place in Him, or even a place in the Lord. You know, sometimes there's places in God that we don't necessarily leave the place we're in, but we move to another place in God. In other words, another level of authority, another level of, you know, a greater authority, it seems. You know, not that we didn't have authority, we do. Not that we didn't have all authority, we did. But we're beginning to recognize more and more. And we're understanding, oh, okay, you want me to take more authority. We didn't spend a little more time in that prayer. There's a drawing of God and a place in Him, maybe in prayer. A lot of times it starts in the spirit and then it comes in the natural. See, there's a lot of things that we have to understand. God knows the timings and He can make it known to you. But when we're faithful, it causes a consistency. There's a peace in your life and there's a grace. You know, where there's no, you know, you're not scowling, you're not burdened. You're not weighed down. You don't feel like it's hard. There's a grace. It's where I belong. Ah, yes. Now, don't get me wrong. You could, you might, you know, there might be a place that He's drawn you to, and maybe you hadn't quite got there yet or found that right place. And if you quit, sometimes if we quit pursuing God, there's a false peace. You know, oh, well. Oh, I feel peace. Well, why? You quit the battle. So, well, I've been struggling with this thing all my life and I'm just going to quit. And I guess I'm just going to give in to it and let it be. You know, sirrah, sirrah, what will be, will be. I guess it's not for me. You know, poor me. And then there's kind of a peace because you're not battling. You're not fighting to be in the place God wants you. And yet, at the same time, there's a discontentment. At the same time, there can be, you know you're not there. And so, you know, in one way, well. And praise the Lord, sometimes we do get some of these places, but we can start again. We can still pursue Him. It's not too late. I don't care if you're 100 years old, if you're breathing, you can still fulfill what God wants you to do if you'll seek Him. There's still something He has for you in the body. Hallelujah. 100, you said? Yeah. I know that's getting up there, but praise the Lord. If you're still breathing and it's still okay, you can still fulfill some things. And maybe it's in prayer. Maybe there's some other things. Hallelujah. Maybe not everything, but you can fulfill all that you can. Amen. How many know? Just being obedient to God. I remember one lady that started coming to the prayer center. I think she was 92. She had just started praying in tongues. And she was asking the Lord. You know, she asked for prayer. I need wisdom. I want to know. I'm 92. I want to know how to fast. I want to ask the Lord for wisdom for fasting. And He gave her wisdom. She'd fast every other day. That's what the Lord told me. He said every other day. She was concerned, you know, because she's a little older. And she didn't want to just wear her body down. And the Lord gave her wisdom. The Lord gave her grace. And she started fasting and praying to find her place. And she did find some place and find a grace. Hallelujah. When you follow the Lord, there's a harmony, isn't there? You know you're in the right place. There's a harmony with Him. When we're not in that place, there's not the grace. There's not the harmony. There's not the peace. There's not that flow. Sometimes, it can be hard. And it doesn't mean that there's never, It doesn't mean that every time, you know, we get together, there's no work. Sometimes there's work involved, but yet there's a grace. You know, anybody ever go to work and you get tired? You know, come home tired, but sometimes it feels good to get tired. Why? You know you did your job, don't you? You know you worked hard. You know you fulfilled something. You accomplished something. It's not always easy, but we continue to follow Him, and there's a grace. If we're not fulfilling our part, it puts extra pressure on the rest of the body of Christ. Amen. Somebody's got to do your part if you're not doing it, right? Oh, boy. You know, well, I think there is a place for that. We need to pray about that. Think, ask God, Lord, you know, or if we're slacking in our part, you know, in our, maybe our prayer part or in our ministry part, where we start slacking off, there's a, you know, makes a little extra pressure on the rest of the body. We've got to, how many know if one part of your body breaks down, the rest of your body works real hard. Why? Because it wants to try to get that part coming back, you know, because it's got to do its part. And some parts, if they break down, you know, if your heart quits working, guess what? You're not going to be here very long. You know, it's not going to last. The body's going to die. Hallelujah. But we have, you know, we know that it can put pressure on other parts of the body when we're not pulling our weight or we're not doing our full, what we really should. We know we should. So there's a place that you belong. Because God said, it's that verse 18 we just read, that God set the members, what every one of them in the body as He has pleased. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Grace for your place tonight. I'm going to read 1 through 4 right now. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, in one hope of your calling. Hallelujah. We're to walk worthy of the call, worthy of the vocation or the calling that God has on our life right now. You say, well, what is my calling? Well, it may be in the helps ministry. Maybe you're just, you know, God says, I just want you to help that church as much as you can, pray, seek God, work in the nursery, do whatever, you know, whatever's needed. And that may be that place. And there's a grace on you to do that. There's a grace for the place that God's called you. And sometimes there's people that come in. Guess what? How many know when we get to 500, the pastor can't always see everybody? He might need you to talk to him. Amen. There's somebody comes in. I know of many times in the church, somebody came in, they sit by themselves, and just seems like the Lord said, go talk to them. Go sit with them. Amen. How many know that's important? You know, it's very important. You find things out about people, you know, take them out to lunch. He might want you to minister to them. Well, you know, how are you, brother? Oh, I've been living with my girlfriend, but you know, it's all right. God doesn't mind. yes, He does. He does. Maybe they didn't know. What do you mean they didn't know? If they're born again, maybe deep down they knew, but maybe they overrode it because they just didn't really think it was so, or whatever reason. But, you know, you might be able to enlighten them. Amen. 1 Corinthians, right? 6 and 7, where he talks about it. Well, that was good anyway. Praise the Lord. But we're to walk worthy of the call, worthy of our calling in the body of Christ, with all lowliness and meekness. What does that mean? With all our, to humble ourselves and to be teachable. That's what it means to be meek, really. To be what? Teachable. To remain teachable, not a know-it-all, right? Even though we do know. How many know you know everything you know already? Amen. I know all I know. That's why sometimes when I'm with a lot of people, you know, I try to listen because I already know what I know. But I don't know what they know yet. I want to remain what? Teachable. And find out. Because in a sense, when you talk to somebody, if I sit down to have a conversation with somebody and I don't ever listen to them, I'm not being very teachable, am I? Because really, they're trying to teach me who they are. About their life. In a sense. I'm not saying they're actually teaching, but they're sharing. They're sharing with me, and I'm trying to learn about them. So in a sense, they're teaching me about themselves. Amen? When we have a conversation, I'm learning things about you, you're learning things about me. We are, what, learning about each other. We're growing in knowledge. We're growing in understanding. Isn't that a form of teaching? Are we being teachable? Are we listening? Are we humbling our heart? We're to walk worthy of that vocation. We're to do it with all lowliness and meekness. You know, say, well, you know, it's unto the Lord. Whenever we serve, whatever we do, said, we're to do unto the Lord. Not to men, but to the Lord. We serve men, but we're doing it unto what? The Lord, to please Him. We're not doing it to please the pastor. Although, you know, if you do it unto the Lord, I'm sure you will please the pastor. Or you please your mother. You know, we're not doing it to please our mother or our father or somebody else in our life. We're not doing it so that, you know, we feel better about ourselves, so that, you know, people say good job, or so that we receive that. We want to receive that what? From the Lord. Even though, and there are times, sometimes, the Bible says also, you know, I've been in some places and the leader got angry with me. And I had to make a decision. Am I going to be offended or am I going to stay where God put me? It says, even if the leader gets angry with you, we do not leave our place. We stay there. And I kept serving. Even when they're angry with you. Well, they might kick me out. So what? They're not going to. God gives me favor and I've got to deal with something. God's trying to deal with me too. Because guess what? You're going to be in this world and sometimes people are going to get angry with you. Your boss might get angry with you. Maybe they shouldn't have. Maybe you didn't do anything wrong. What are you going to do? You didn't do anything wrong, but they start blaming you and God has you doing something. You're just going to walk away from it. You're going to be obedient. Are we going to humble ourselves, he said, with all lowliness and meekness? Or am I going to stand up and demand my rights? Bless God. They should treat me like that, but if they're in charge, sometimes there's nothing you can do. That's the way they want to do it. You're not in that position. You know, it's not my job to correct people. They're in authority over you. You know, I never once went up to my boss to tell him how to treat me. It's not really my responsibility. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, there may be a time, you know, if they're just really being, you know, troublesome to you, you may sit down and talk to them privately and say, you know, is there a reason that you do this to me? You know? Well, I say some things, you know, maybe. But, you know, it's not really our responsibility. It's not our job. Our job is to do what God said. And some people say, well, you know, somebody told me one time, you don't have to keep that job. I said, yes, I do. God sent me there. And I didn't like how my boss treated me. I hated it. God told me, you stay. I almost went run off one day. I even said, you know, that was the end. And I went to get in my car and God said, where are you going? Get over there and get back to work now. I said, yes, sir. And what they said to me and what they did wasn't right. They, you know, people said, well, you can find something else. I said, I could, but I can't. Because God sent me here. He's teaching me something. He wanted me to learn to work and to walk through certain situations with His wisdom. And He gave it to me. He wanted to teach me some things that I didn't know He wanted to teach me. He already had told me, He said, you're going to learn a lot of things at this job, and it wasn't any of the things that I wanted to learn. Or that I thought I should learn. Put it that way, that were in my natural mind. But I learned some valuable things that no man can take from me today. Hallelujah, I'm very, very happy I was obedient. You have no idea. I'm so thankful because it began to set me free. Hallelujah. There's a freedom in Jesus. When we obey Him, there's things that He can do that He couldn't have done otherwise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 4, it says, here we read verse 3 there, endeavoring to keep what the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, that's kind of what I was talking about. Sometimes, you know, people aren't as, you know, well, they weren't very nice to me. That's, you know, well, you know, pastors can be that way sometimes. I know a guy, you know, not saying it's right, but hadn't had anybody to help him for a long time. He finally got somebody, and boy, he's just slave driving him. You know, on him about everything. I don't believe in that. I don't think that's necessary. I'm not here to drive you. I'm not here to make you do anything. I'm here to help you find your position with God and let you work unto Him. And in love and in peace, we're supposed to work, it says, in the bond of peace. Amen. We're a body, right? We're a family. We're not just an organization. It's not just something like a company. This is a family. This is a body that belongs to Christ. It's a little bit different. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is one body, verse 4, and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. What is God saying to me? What call? Your position. Has He called you to? What positions He called you in right now? What's He saying, Lord? What are you saying to me? Amen. Maybe he's just said, hey, go and be a servant. Whatever you can do, serve unto me. Yes, Lord. I'm your servant. I serve them as I serve the Lord. We serve by loving God and loving people. And we do it because God said. Because God is leading us. Because He's the one that's pleased with me. And if somebody gets upset, I don't run off and leave my place. I refuse. They can yell and scream at me, and I might have to say, well, does that mean you're angry with me? You know? You know, it doesn't ever mean that, you know, maybe we were wrong. And I've made mistakes in my life. I've had to apologize. If I do something in front of I find every person that was there and I get it all together, no, I was wrong. And I apologize. I'm right here. Humble yourself. Amen. I shouldn't have acted that way. I shouldn't have had that kind of attitude, whatever it was. How many know we got to be willing to humble ourselves? Part of that is sometimes we apologize to those that we're with. Well, if that happened, they shouldn't have been there. Well, God put them there. You know, when Moses was in charge, they didn't think it was such a good idea. They didn't like Moses being the boss. Who put you in charge, Moses? Well, God, you know, Moses just, you know, God put him in charge. He said, are you with me or are you against me? He drew a line in the sand. Those that are with me, come on over here. It's a good thing for those that went with him, but the ones that didn't, how many know? God still knows how to open up the earth. The earth actually opened up and swallowed them. I'm telling you, it's important that we humble ourselves before God. Say yes, when we have done wrong or if we made mistakes, it's important that we acknowledge it and that we make correction. You know, we call that, I guess in the world or whatever, sometimes we say we eat humble pie, right? But you know what? We also got to remember to extend a little grace to others. Amen. Nobody minds if you're faithful and you keep going and you're doing your job unto the Lord, you know, and there's a time that you, maybe you didn't show up or you didn't call or you didn't, you know, do something you should have done, you know, and you humble yourself. There's grace. Amen. There's some grace. But you know, when we're not faithful and you're just doing it all the time and you're 10 minutes late or 5 minutes late or 1 minute late, you know, when you're supposed to be there and, you know, they're having to put up with you. Oh man, wondering if you're going to get there, wringing their hands, you know. I hope they're coming today, you know. Are they going to show up or am I going to have to find somebody else? And they don't know what to do. And so they find somebody else and then you showed up. Well, glory to God. It was good anyhow. It's called being faithful, amen? And following after God. There's a consistency, being consistent with the Lord. Let's look here in verse 7. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace. Ephesians 4:7. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Amen. There's a grace. There's a pleasure, a delight, a favorableness as it pleased the Lord. It pleased Him as He delights in us. Favorable place for you. There's a favorable place in God in the body for you and I. Amen. We can serve Him with a pleasure, with a delight. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. How many delight in the Lord? How many know He says to work as unto the Lord? Work to please Him. Do it as you're doing. Whatever you're doing, do it to Him. But nobody sees me. I was in there. I didn't see anybody else here. I stayed late and I straightened all the chairs. And man, I worked hard. I moved all the stuff to one side and maybe you had to do something extra and they all went out to pizza and I didn't get to go till later because it was my turn to be faithful. It was my turn to do something and make sure everything's closed up. Oh boy. But if you practice now, be the first one here and the last one to leave, right? Start practicing. And be in that person and say, Lord, I'm willing. Doesn't mean you're going to miss out every time, but there's some things you might have to give up or lay down. There's a favorable place for each one of us. When we become thankful where God has placed us, then He's able to allow that grace comes. We become thankful for right where we are now, today. Amen. How many know that we're living in, and the Bible said in the last days, people become what? Unthankful. There's something about thankfulness that brings the grace of God. You know, and if we're not in the right place, if we'll keep praying in the Holy Ghost, He'll get us there. He'll get you there. Say, well, I know I'm here right now. And this is the place that God has wanted me to serve. And He wants us to come to that place where we're at peace. Where we sense that grace. where we become what? Satisfied and happy to serve him there. Yet there may be a dissatisfaction on the inside because we want to see more. We want to see him move in the place that we're in. Well, you know, it would be great. Who's in the sound now? Wouldn't that be great? Let's believe God. You get together. Say, Lord, I think it'd be nice if we had a new sound system. Start believing God. Or a new camera. Maybe there's some things he might put on your heart to believe for. You know what? That's awesome. Amen. You know what? There's nothing like it when you talk to the Lord. And he did that. And you said, oh, man, I knew he was going to do that. I knew it was going to happen. I began to pray. I was believing God and we got it. Lord, you did it. And see, there's a grace in your place. And you say, oh, I added something. My authority did something. The authority that God gave me. And it's just between you and him and nobody can take it away. You don't have to tell anybody. But you know it. And there's something that rises up and the pleasure of God rises in your heart. Because you weren't thinking about what? Myself. But you're thinking about the kingdom. What it's going to do for what God has in store. There'll be a divine influence and a grace. Hallelujah. And we won't have to be defensive. Amen. How many know sometimes people be defensive about little things and their thing, but you get in that place, God will defend you. He'll take care of it. You keep being faithful. You keep following him. You keep seeking his heart, pleasing him. There's a grace. There's an influence for you and I. Romans 12:6. Let's read that real quick. Romans 12:6. Let's go there. How many believe there's a grace for your place? There's a grace for you in serving God. There's a grace in following him. There's even a grace in prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sometimes we have some hard times or sometimes there's struggle, but as we are, what, faithful, there's a consistency and there's a grace that comes. Hallelujah. Romans 12:6 says this, then having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teaches on teachings. Or he that exhorts on exhortation. Or he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. I hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Glory to God forever. There is a grace that can come upon us for our place, for what he has called us to do. Amen. Because what? There's gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're all members one of another. But there's a grace. Grace for your place, for your call. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And last week we talked a little bit about, you know, we can find the grace. There's an anointing. It pleases God to put you in your place. He's not trying not to, that's for sure. He's trying to get it over to us. Amen. It's not a secret. He's not trying to hide his will from you. He's trying to get it over to you. If we'll keep praying, if we'll keep seeking him, and of course praying in the Holy Spirit, praying out the perfect will of God has a lot to do with that. And when we offer ourselves as a servant what to the Lord, what would you have me do, Lord? I remember... I don't know why this comes to me, but I remember Arthur Blessed. He's the one that carried the cross around the world now. He's 83 years old, I think, now. Was just faithful to do what God said to do. And he was on Sunset Strip for about 10 or 12 years witnessing in the bars and just witnessing on the street and, you know, people getting saved. And he opened up a little place in between the bars called his place, and people would come in and they would minister to him. They'd let him, you know, they just got a pool table in there, kind of like a little coffee house where people could come. And, you know, some of the Christians would come down and help him sometimes. And I remember they wanted to close that place down because it didn't fit in, you know, with all the other places there. You say, well, what do you mean it doesn't fit in? You know, we've got to have some kind of light in this darkness. But I remember he chained himself up. He said, oh, he found this dumpster and a pole, this big pole by the dumpster, and he bought a chain. Says the last $36 we had. Of course, that was way back. So he bought that chain and wrapped it around himself and around the pole and got a lock. You know, they couldn't just cut it off. And he said, I'm staying right here, fasting and praying until they change their mind. Bless God, this is what I'm going to do. Felt led to do it. He just prayed, sought God, and there was this one man, this one reporter that would come by every day, this Jewish guy. And he came to talk to him every single day to just see what's going on. And he'd just look at him and smile, Jesus loves you. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. Would you pray a prayer? Would you like to pray and receive Jesus? And he said, no, you know, of course. And he just did his article and wrote it down, you know, what was going on, what's happening. And they battled it, of course, in court, and they finally won, you know. But he was there every day, and he said, this reporter would come by every day. And finally, he said, I realized, Lord, I see what you want. I see why I'm here. You want this man. You want me to keep witnessing to this one man. And finally, one day, he said, would you pray with me? And he stuck his hand out because he just felt sorry for him sitting there, you know, fasting and seeking God. He said, really, I just felt sorry for you. But he prayed the prayer. He got born again. He meant it. Something happened in his heart. His heart changed, and he wrote a book, What's a Jewish Man Doing in First Baptist Church? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Serve the Lord. There's a grace. Not that it's always easy, but there's a grace to continue. Not that you never get tired. I'm sure Arthur got hungry when he fasted and prayed. I'm sure it wasn't always easy to sit there every day in the hot sun. And it took a little while before he said he even realized, but he realized it. And he was fasting, and they kept his place open and continued ministering on Sunset Strip for a little while. Then one day God spoke to him, he said, because they'd put this big cross up, you know, not on the front, but inside the building there where everybody could see it. He said, man, if I knew I was going to carry that cross, he said, I'd never put that big one up there. He said, it was heavy. It was a 90-pound cross. And I said, you know, it just seemed like the Lord was talking to him one night in prayer. And he said, I want you to take that cross down off the wall there, Arthur, and I want you to walk from right here in Hollywood. I want you to go to New York City, walk across the nation. And they took it down, and he said he practiced a little bit first and realized, hey, you know, it's wearing down, you know, after a mile or two, you know, we got an inch every mile or so, this isn't going to work. And that's where he got the idea to put a wheel on the back of it and everything else. And he got all set. When are you going to leave? Christmas Day, 1969. We're going to leave Christmas Day. Okay. Well, about a week before he was getting ready to leave, he found himself in the hospital. Had an aneurysm in his brain. The doctor said if you lift anything over 20 pounds, it could burst at any time. That's what they told him. And he laid in the hospital bed and he said, I prayed and I prayed. He said, I heard nothing. God had already spoken, he said. It just seemed in my heart God had already spoken. He said, but I didn't hear anything. I had to make a decision. So he said, me and my wife, he said, I'm not telling you to do it, but I had to make a decision. I wanted to be in the will of God. He said, I'd rather die in the will of God than anything else. He said, if I have to fall in the direction of the will of God, there's going to be a grace that'll come upon you. And he couldn't even kind of stumbled and was not really walking perfectly and everything. But he said, my wife and I prayed. We made a decision. We threw the pills down the toilet and walked out of the hospital. And on Christmas Day, I said, I grabbed that cross. And he started walking one step at a time and began to continue to walk. And now he didn't know. He said, at the time, I didn't know. I was just going to New York City. I'm just walking across the country. Now he's walked around the world. Every step, over a billion steps, billions of pounds on those feet. And listening and just sharing Jesus one to one. Sometimes it would be more, but, you know, crowds gather. He'd preach and, you know, different things would happen. But it was a grace that came upon him to fulfill that. But it was a faithfulness in the little things. He just kept going back. He kept witnessing the bars till God told him something else. He just stayed right where he was. See, if we stay right where we are until God shares something else. I mean, I know when I came here, I knew there was a change. I already knew it in my spirit. January the 31st, 2017, God already put it in my heart. Things are changing. I knew it. I didn't know when. I didn't know what. But I knew something's changing on the inside of me. He said, well, how'd you know? I just knew. Right down there in my spirit, man. So I continued to pray. In August of 2017, I received a word from a particular guy that I know and confirming some things. He said, the door is open. God wants you to go through that open door. And I said, I don't see an open door, but praise the Lord, Father, the door's open and I'll walk through it. Hallelujah. Something's changing. Well, then in December, somebody called me and asked me some questions. October 1st, they were asking me a little bit, and then they came to see me. About maybe would you think you might want to pastor church here in Canada? Has God said anything to you? Are you a pastor? Are you this? Are you that? Well, those words have come to me, those things and those thoughts and those desires. But you know how many know sometimes the enemy comes to confuse you too. Other people had said other things. You know, I was an apostle. I was a prophet. I was an evangelist. I mean, everything you can think of, people had called me different times in my life, but God called me a pastor. And really, when I look at my life, I was already pastoring. There's people that would call me. Even when they move away, they call me. Well, why are they calling you, Doug? I mean, you know, why are they calling me? Why aren't they calling? Because I'm the one that ministered to them. I'm the person they knew. I'm the one that walked with them through their situation. Through whatever they were going through. I'm the one that befriended them. I'm the one that was able to minister to them. That's who they felt connected to. Was me. And I thought, I wasn't trying to make any connection. Lord, it was a God thing. It was God ministering. And it was already happening. And so, you know, things that are happening. And then it began to come to pass. I came out and visit. And we prayed. And we prayed some more. We had to wait, waiting for different things to happen on this end, waiting for things on my end, but God brought it together. And we're going to be a body. It's going to happen. God's going to do some new things. There's a grace. I know there's a grace in my life. Yeah, I got to change some things. There's things that are still changing on the inside of me. There's things that I'm becoming yet. Hopefully I'll be a better pastor tomorrow than I am today. And next year it'll be even better. And the year after that it'll be even better. And it's going to be even stronger. And God's going to unite this body. And we're going to flow as one in the grace that He gives us to fulfill our place. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for your word tonight, Lord. We thank You that there's grace to walk with You, Lord, to fulfill the place that You called us to in the body. Lord, You set us in the body. You said that we're to walk worthy of that calling, of that place that You have in us, where we will walk with all what lowliness and teachableness, Lord, that will bring honor to You in our place, that will allow that grace to flow, Father, and will allow You to help us, Father, to fulfill all that You want us to do. Help us to be faithful, Lord, to honor You. And we're not working, Lord, to honor people or to get the praises of men. But Lord, we're honoring You. We're loving You. We just want to do it because You've asked us to. We want to be obedient, Father. We want to continue to walk with You. We want to let You also teach us, Lord, how to be a better servant, Lord, how to be a better son, how to walk with You in all the fullness and all the glory of God. We give You praise. We give You honor, Lord, with our lives. And today again, Lord, we say, help us, Holy Spirit. Help us find our place as we spend time in prayer, Lord. Give us that grace. Give us that knowing on the inside that right now this is where I belong. I've got to keep being faithful right where I am. And Father, if there's a change that's taking place, that we'll hear that and we'll sense it and we'll know it, Lord. And that You'll take us from one place to another, from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Whether it be in more authority, whether it be in more prayer, whether it be in a different, maybe we're serving in a different capacity or more capacity than what we've been doing, Lord. Something else You ask us to do. Oh, Father, we want to follow You. We want to walk with You, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.